Right on. Well, everyone, welcome to church. If you haven't met me before, my name is Joe. I'm one of the pastors on staff here, and I'm excited to bring the word to you this morning. So does anyone remember old westerns? You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about like John Wayne movies. Yeah, The Lone Ranger and Tonto, right? The classics, like the really good ones. Now, I know what you're probably thinking. You're probably thinking, yeah, but how do you know and remember the old westerns, right? That was well before your time, Sonny. Like, what are you talking about? Well, I have a news flash for you. The reason is because I was homeschooled. So that's the answer to that question. But you know what, the funny thing about being homeschooled is it's kind of like going through life with a superpower. It's just sort of the answer to every question, right? If you came up to me and were like, Joe, why are you the way that you are? Well, I was homeschooled, right? Joe, why are you so awkward all the time? Homeschooled. Joe, are you a genius? I was homeschooled, right? It kind of works for everything. And so long story short, you know, I watched old westerns on our acreage with my 8 brothers and sisters, 3 cats and 2 dogs, and I know what you're thinking. He was homeschooled. Anyways, I didn't actually come here to talk to you about being homeschooled. We were talking about old westerns, so let's get back to that a little bit. But one of the things that made the old western so classic was it had just a great plot line and just an incredible amount of predictability. You always knew how it was going to go. Think Hallmark movies, but with guns and cowboy hats, right? And the storyline usually went a little something like this, right? There's a small town out west has fallen on hard times, right? The bad guy gang, usually the brothers of something, the something brothers, right, had taken over the town. And they were really easy to identify because they had black hats. Right, but just when it seemed like all hope was lost, the hero would come. Right, the hero would come riding into town, and how would you know that it was the hero? Well, he'd come in riding alone, and he wore a white hat. Right, and so the hero would come in, and he would stroll into the saloon and have a confrontation with the bad guys, and he would upset the status quo, and all of a sudden, he would re-spark this hope in the town that everything was not hopeless. And then, you know, entered helpless damsel in distress, right? She would fall madly in love with our hero, which made her the perfect person to be captured and then subsequently rescued by said hero. And then at some point in the movie, things would escalate so much that there was this huge shootout, right? This huge gunfight, and it usually involved guys with black hats falling off of buildings, and they had the same cardboard cutout scream that they all did, that they just kind of pasted over everything. It was amazing. And then the dust would settle, and it was time for the standoff, right? It was the hero would stand off against the head villain in a shootout. And spoiler alert, the hero would win. He'd get the girl, and he'd ride off into the sunset, right? Just a classic, classic story. But here is the moral of the story. The moral of the story is there are no white hats in the kingdom of God. And what I mean by that is simply that we were not created in isolation. Heroes aren't created in a vacuum, much less the rest of us. But yet we live in a very individualistic culture. We all want to have the unlimited freedom that comes with being independent, to do what we want when we want without nagging obligations or distractions. But at the same time, we also deeply crave community, to be part of something that is bigger than ourselves, to have a safe place where we can be accepted for who we are, encouraged, challenged, and maybe even corrected out of a place of love and acceptance instead of criticism. But there's a very inconvenient trade-off that comes with community, and that's freedom. See, community by its very nature demands commitment. Community by its very nature demands commitment. Mark Sayers, he's the pastor of Red Church in Melbourne, Australia. He said this, human flourishing requires 3 things: freedom, community, and meaning. See, we live in a culture that is obsessed with freedom. We have the freedom to basically do whatever we want. In a song that was written a few years ago, Miley Cyrus wrote, It's our party. We can do what we want to. It's our house. We can love who we want to. It's our song. We can sing if we want to. It's my mouth. I can say what I want to. And in many ways, that's kind of the cultural anthem for this cultural moment that we find ourselves in. But where there is an abundance of freedom, there's also a deep desire for community. But community comes at a cost, and it costs us our freedom. Freedom to do whatever we want, whenever we want, because we're not just looking out for our own interests, but also looking out for the interests of others. And we were created to thrive in that environment. We were created to thrive in community. So where there's an abundance of freedom, there's also a deep desire for community. But more than that, there's also a deep desire for meaning. You know, our culture has sold us the story through Netflix or advertising, social media, whatever medium you can think of, that the meaning is really just what you create. You create your own meaning. It's very individualistic. You become the person that you want to be. The ironic thing about that is that that is actually a community statement. You're saying, hey, you be your own person, you be alone, and we'll all be alone together. Right? It's a cultural statement. It's a community statement. But there is so much more depth and richness and true meaning to be found in the church, in the Jesus community. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And so I just want to ask you is do you feel isolated, disconnected, or lonely? Have you ever felt alone in a crowd of people? Feel disconnected for all of the many different ways that our devices connect us. Have tons of friends, but no one that you can really share meaningful conversations with. This is where the church comes in. This is where we have an opportunity to shine and to thrive, because we were created to thrive in community. And friends, let me tell you, you have not experienced community until you've experienced Jesus' community. Because what unites the body of Christ is far greater than anything that would divide us. In the Bible, the story of God and us, there's a book called Hebrews, and it was written to, well, you guessed it, the Hebrews. And the thrust of the book is the difference that Jesus makes. That Jesus makes all of the difference. How he transformed and reinterpreted centuries of tradition through his death and resurrection. And how they, and by extension us, can now live our lives in light of that as followers of Jesus, as people who've been welcomed into the kingdom of God and brought from death to life, that we can now live and walk in this new way. And so today we're going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 10. So if you've got a Bible with you, you can open up to Hebrews chapter 10. It's going to be verses 19 to 25. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. You can follow along on the screen. You can download a Bible app on your app store. There's lots of different ways to follow along as we read together. So here we go. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter the most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. See, the writer of Hebrews is imploring us. He's begging us. He's saying, choose community. To not just get tired and bored with gathering. To just passively slip away. He said, now is the time to double down on engagement. Now, before you storm off or you slam your laptop shut on me, just hear me out. You know, I understand that these are hard times. I understand that we're still in the middle of a pandemic. I understand that many people have very good reasons for choosing to worship online instead of in person. And the goal and the heart behind this sermon is not to shame or to pressure you to come to an in-person gathering. See, more than ever, this is a call for unity. More than ever, we need to come together as the church, both in person and online, to engage with the mission that God has given us. So how do we interpret the words, "Let us not neglect our meeting together," as some people do, in light of our current cultural moment? And that's a great question. You're a really smart person for asking that, so thank you. And the answer is actually very simple. Choose community. Choose community. Because community is ultimately a choice. You can engage or make excuses. You can participate or be passive. You can connect or you can compromise. You know, if this season of COVID-19 has taught us anything, it's that we don't need the building to do this. And don't get me wrong, the building is great. I love that we have these facilities. We've been so blessed to have a roof over our head and a sound system and the ability to live stream professionally from here. All of those different things are amazing. But that's not the church. The church is us. It's the people of God. And so we need to engage in community like never before. It's about the body of Christ. So whether you're worshiping at home in your pajamas or you're sitting in the front row, you're welcome here. So as we talk about choosing community, I have three choices that you can make this morning on that very path and trajectory of moving towards community. The first is to choose His presence over passivity. Choose His presence over passivity. Anyone else here have choice anxiety? I get choice anxiety. It used to be a lot worse when I was a kid. I actually had a dream one time. I was grocery shopping with my mom, and we got to the checkout line in the dream grocery store, and my mom said, "You can have any chocolate bar that you want while I'm checking out the groceries. You just pick one and put it down." And so I was like super excited. There were just so many options. I didn't know what to pick. Like Wonder Bar is clearly my favorite. Someone write that down for later. But you know, I was a kid, but Mr. Big was bigger, right? You get more bang for your buck that way. But then there were also Nerds, and they had those cool little tabs that you could pull in the two different colors, and it was really kind of cool. And I just didn't know what I want. And basically, I just kind of spiraled out of control, not knowing what to choose, until my mom went through the imaginary dream grocery checkout line, and we left the store without a chocolate bar. And don't worry, I've talked to my therapist, and we've worked this all through. Just kidding. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. To not choose is by itself a choice. In that dream, by not choosing a chocolate bar, my choice was not to have a chocolate bar. And in the same way, when we decide to be passive and we're not really sure whether or not to engage in church that or to engage in our relationship with God, that is in itself a choice to disengage. See, as followers of Jesus, what's fascinating about this passage? Oh, hang on here. I've lost my place. That's okay. We'll get back to it. Here we go. I scrolled, and then I like to say technology, our friend and foe. You know, but the book of Hebrews, we're told that the writer tells us that we can boldly enter into heaven's most holy place. Let's actually read those verses again, verses 10, 19 to 22. Just listen to them again and really allow them to just transform your heart. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. See, because Jesus has saved us, because he's forgiven us, because he has made us holy, we get to experience his presence. We get to be with Jesus. See, the why behind the call to gather isn't that we have to, it's that we get to. Right? That we get to come together and worship God. Jesus has transformed our hearts. He has welcomed us into the kingdom of God, and we get to come together. We get to gather. We get to choose community. And what's so fascinating about this passage is that there is no I. There's no you statements. They're all plural pronouns. It's us, we, let's. You see, there's times in the Bible where we're told as individuals to pursue God's presence, to pursue after Jesus. But then there's also passages like this that says, hey, corporately, together, us, as a community, we can enter into God's presence. As a community of Jesus followers, we can gather together and seek God. See, as followers of Jesus, the first relationship that we need to pursue is the one with God, the one with Jesus. And if we don't have that relationship intact, if that relationship is not healthy, then the relationship with others is going to be pretty messed up. In the same way, though, if we don't have a good relationship, a good connection to a Christian community this way, there's nothing keeping us accountable to our relationship with Jesus. And it's easy to impose our own values and ideas and actually kind of end up serving our own makeshift Jesus that looks a lot like me. See, we were created to thrive in community. And how much more in a community that is saturated by the presence of God? The second choice that we need to make is we need to choose engagement over excuses. Now he's just being mean, isn't he? You know, I'm starting a new trend. I'm just going to blame COVID for everything, right? Hashtag thanks COVID, right? Everything is COVID's fault. But have you found yourself maybe making any of these excuses over the past few months? You know, I can't engage in online church. It's just not the same. Let's go to the beach. I just got into this new weird routine with my kids, and the thought of going to another routine, I can't even right now. Staying home is so much easier. No one has contacted me in a while. I guess I'm not wanted. You know, I'm just so exhausted. I can't take anything else on right now, even church. See, we're really good at coming up with excuses. And to be fair, I get it. You know, just ask my wife, doing online church with two children, doing backflips on the couch and poking each other in the eye is not super easy. It's not a cakewalk. But parents, if I can just be really transparent and as your pastor, ask you a very simple but vital question. And that's simply this: what is the spiritual life of your children worth to you? You know, what cost is too great? What cost is too great to see your children following in the footsteps of the Lord? You see, We're told by the author in Hebrew to hold on tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. See, as if COVID could ever take away the freedom that we have in Christ. So don't lose hope. Don't despair. The hope of the gospel is something that no one can take from you. Nothing can separate you from God's love. And here's the thing, not only do you need us, but we also need you. It's a reciprocal relationship. I love so much what the author says here. He says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. See, we were created to thrive in community, and we all have a role to play. Friends, even if you're self-isolating at home, you can still pick up the phone. You can get down on your knees. There is ways that you can engage in community. And so even now where it might seem difficult to try to stay connected to everyone, now more than ever is time where we need to double down in engagement. To ask ourselves the question, how can you engage in the mission of knowing Jesus and making him known? In 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says this: the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body, So it is with the body of Christ. We all have a role to play that is vital. And we get to be creative about it too, which is really fun. Right? He says, think of ways to stir one another up towards love and good works. Be creative. Think outside the box. What can you do wherever you are, wherever God has placed you? What can you do to engage in the greatest mission of all, of sharing the hope that Jesus has given you with the world? So friends, it's time to choose engagement over excuses. The third point is to choose connection over compromise. Choose connection over compromise. You know, I get it. We're all tired. This whole COVID thing has gone on a lot longer than probably most of us were expecting. Many of you, like myself, probably just want to curl up into a ball, watch Netflix, and scroll through Facebook until this whole thing just blows over. But to disengage from community is to compromise your faith. You see, because community holds us accountable, right? It challenges us. It speaks into our lives out of a place of love. Right, we can be corrected or brought back on the path, or we can dialogue things out when we're in community. When we don't have that, then we can compromise our faith in so many different areas. You know, every day we're just saturated by so many stories of how we can create our own identity and find purpose apart from God, about how belief in God is oppressive and outdated. Or maybe we just hear stories of indifference, of how meaning is just a myth and it's whatever you imagine it to be. You know, we're constantly told lies about who we are and what our place is in this world. And the author of Hebrews encourages us to stay connected to community. He says, as the day of his return draws near, see, more than ever, now is the time to engage. Now is the time to choose community. During this season of COVID, when every bone in your body is tired, I implore you to hold unswervingly to the hope that you have, to the hope that we have in Jesus. You see, because friends, the gospel tells a true and better story. See, one of the reasons that we need to gather together is so that we can be bathed in the gospel, so we can be drenched, so we can be saturated in the story of God's love, to be told the story again and again and again of how God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. The story of how this son lived a sinless life and the power structures of the world hated him for it and eventually killed him. The story of how he died on the cross, not just for my sin, but for yours as well. And how he bore our sin and our shame, our sickness, our failures, our faults, our mistakes, our past, and our future. The story of how through the resurrection, he just blew open the doors off of sin and death and ushered in the kingdom of God. Of how he has brought us from shackles to freedom, from brokenness to wholeness, from shame to joy, from isolation to community, from fear to peace, from hate to love, and from death to life. This is the gospel. This is the true and better story that we need to surround ourselves in, to engage in, to hear again and again, and allow it to shape us and to transform us through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask Pastor Alexis if she could come on up. We're going to go through a time of communion together. If you're at home, you just, you know, grab some kind of beverage, juice preferably, but whatever you've got, and some kind of bread, and you can join along as well. You know, when Jesus instituted communion, it was with a festival called Passover, and he sat down with his 12 closest disciples, and they shared this really beautiful, very intimate moment. And Jesus told them about how everything that they had celebrated as kids was being reinterpreted and transformed to be all about him, to be about Jesus. And Jesus gathered them around the table for this moment. And friends, I invite you to do the same thing this morning, wherever you are, whether you're here with me or online with me. I invite you to gather around the table with Jesus So we can celebrate communion together. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the early church leader Paul, he says, look, Jesus passed communion on to me, and I'm passing it on to you. In other words, gather around the table, friends. Let's come together and focus on our Savior. And this is what he says. He said, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together. Jesus, I thank you that your body was broken so we could be made whole. Jesus, I thank you because your body was broken. You've now invited us to be your body, the body of Christ. We're humbled and honored. Thank you for that, Jesus. Paul continues on. He says, in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's drink together. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you washed us clean. God, that you invited us into a relationship with you, not just around the table in this moment, but every single day, every single moment. And God, just as we read that we're to take communion until you come again, and we read in Hebrews to continue to gather as the day approaches. God, I pray that we would be a people who would double down in engagement, that we would double down in choosing community, in choosing the Jesus community, just to be saturated and transformed by the gospel. Jesus, I thank you that in your covenant that there is healing, that there is freedom, that there's holiness. And so, God, I pray right now for anyone who's defeated and downcast in shame. I pray for just that be lifted in Jesus' name. God, I pray where there's any unforgiveness, that forgiveness and reconciliation would flow. Father, I pray where there's any sickness in anyone's body that supernaturally you would heal them in Jesus' name. And God, above all, we pray the same prayer that Jesus himself prayed in John chapter 17, that we would be one just as you and the Father are one. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.